All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey! Good morning, fourth largest city in the United States. Let me just tell you something. There are some sleep-deprived people today that are giddy anyways. Because no sleep till Houston, but I bet that flight home last night was rocking with a lot of joy and emotion. That was one hell of a baseball game, gang. And your Astros have even the series at one game apiece. Tyler's in for Nick. Barry and I are here for the duration, and we are looking forward to this show, because if it's anything like Twitter was last night, it was a whole hell of a lot of fun in the late innings.
One of the best baseball games I've ever watched. And I tweeted as much because I know, listen, let's just get to the chase right now. If they lost that game, no one in this town says that's a fun game, or that was a great game, or it was a great baseball game. No one cares about that when your team loses. But I felt like that. I mean, objectively, I tweeted out before it was even decided. I think when they tied it up again, going into the 11th inning, I was just like, this is fun. This is a fun game. This is fun baseball. If you don't like October baseball, I don't know. You probably hate like the elderly and kittens and babies and freedom.
That.
Like, I mean, how do you not like this?
I tweeted, but if you don't love this game, then you just don't love baseball.
I mean, it was just a fun game. It was fun to watch. I didn't expect it. I'll be honest with you. I didn't expect them to win a game like that. I could see them in a game like that, but the Houston in me didn't expect them to win that game. Amazing.
Here's the thing. TV ratings were down like 12% from the year before. And again, we've talked about that with the Cubs and the whole story that was there. But here's the other thing. There are a lot of people, and you may or may not be man enough to admit it, or just, you know, strong enough to admit it. But there's a lot of people in this town that turned that game off in the eighth inning, or maybe in the seventh inning. When Verlander gave up the home run, I know that there are people out there that said, I'm going to bed, this one's over. And I'm not going to say rightfully so. You know that there's enough people that said, well, with the Dodgers bullpen, if you're a real baseball fan, you could say, well, that's there. You could try and justify it. But you really can't, because, again, it's October baseball. But to see the comebacks, the 9th, the 10th, and the 11th, and then to talk about all the variables that played such a big factor, from the visor of a hat to the base umpire at second base, to all the different variables, to Bregman at third base. There were so many different things that made that game so compelling, and all the home runs. The fact that all the Dodgers' home runs were coming off of long balls, it was just, depending on if you love baseball because of home runs, you love it for excitement, you love it for dramatic comebacks, that game had everything, because everybody said, well, it was one of the best. When you start thinking about it, what else was better? The one game that always comes to mind is Red Sox-Yankees with the Aaron Boone home run, but that wasn't a World Series game. You know, there were some World Series games, obviously the Gibson home run with the pumping of the fist because of his ailments and because the A's were heavy favorites. But overall, that's got to be up there.
It was a lot of fun. I don't know. I mean, like somebody just asked on Twitter, is that Marvin Gonzalez one of the best World Series home runs ever? I don't know. Ever? Probably not.
It was
big, but, you know, I mean, also part of that is the lore of the player. You know what I mean? Like you said, Reggie Jackson, Gibson. No one's like, man, that superstar Marvin Gonzalez came through in the clutch. Now, like Correa and Altuve going to back-to-back, that'll go down as something special for that duo and those guys. And George Springer being an all-star with that. But it was big, no doubt. I mean, it was big for this ball club and big for him to get, you know, get his bat going again. But I just, man, that game, and let's just get this out of the way right up front. I think AJ Hinch did about as well as you can expect a guy to manage a game like that. When you look at the roster that Roberts ran out there, he used everyone except for the other three starters that he has.
He outsmarted himself.
Everybody in the bullpen, pulling Hill out in the fourth inning was dumb. You know, some of the moves he made didn't make sense. But let's face it, the Dodgers did get a little lucky. All right, that ball off the hat cost the Astros a run,
if not two.
Yeah, well, one for sure because because there was a runner on first. If I'm not mistaken,
they were moving first and second.
Yeah, and the runner from first probably scores if that ball gets all the way to the wall instead of hitting his hat and ricocheting to Peterson. So, yeah, a lot of that. That's why I was like, man, when it got tied up and we saw it going to extra innings, I thought, and I think I even tweeted, boy, that run is so big right now because this game should be over. Luckily, it doesn't matter. They just had to play a bunch of extra baseball, which actually might work in the Astros' favor for two reasons. One, that bullpen now has been used. Everybody has been used. They do get a day off. Yeah, yeah. But you know you can hit that bullpen now. You know that they're not invincible.
Going up there. And again, I said that from the very get-go. The biggest thing that you got to worry about is just having some experience because some of these pitchers last night looked like they could have created diamonds out of coal from their backside with the way that they had panic on their face when they got into games. And experience is a very, very valuable commodity come postseason. And you saw a lot of that. But you're right. Now the Astros hitters are going to have a lot of confidence. The other thing you got to say when you look at the camera angles, if that umpire doesn't get in the way of Davinsky's pickoff attempt, based on where Maben was, that runner doesn't just get to third. There's a pretty good shot that he may score.
I disagree. They said that on Maben's getting there. He's so fast. He covers so much ground.
But he would be back to home plate, and the guy already got a jump because the ball went whizzing by him.
Would you have sent him? Would you have sent a guy? I don't think they would have sent him.
Who's catching? Gary Sanchez? I mean, yeah, I'm just saying, point. but if it gets to the gap...
No, it wasn't going to get to the gap.
Look at it from home plate. The one camera angle I saw this morning, again, from home plate, the angle was that ball was going quickly away from Maben.
Maben was already moving to back the play up, though. I mean, you could see it. He was already moving,
You would say, we'll agree to disagree on that one, because the angle I saw, I was like, oh, God, Maben was not going to get there quickly.
Yeah, well, all right.
So there's a lot of factors that factor
but
in.
Didn't but that run score anyways?
Was that
Kike? Run scored anyways. So
on,
it wouldn't matter.
On the hit by Forsythe.
Yeah. So it wouldn't have mattered. I mean, the run scored anyways, if I'm not mistaken.
No, I thought that was the one that would have won it in the... We can go back and look.
Yeah. I thought it was the run that already
scored
anyways.
Tyler, was that the one on the pickoff play when Davinsky came in the game? Tyler's like, don't ask me. When Devo came in the game with a runner, inherited a runner on second base, that was the winning run at second base. And he got out of it. He finally got someone to pop up.
No, because whoever was at bat would have been the game tying.
No, okay, we got to go back and look at that, because I'm pretty sure Devo's...
I'm sure our listeners remember. There was so much of an inning. I love Mark Berman. He's like, well, let me make sure I don't screw this up, because I'm going to try to get through all these highlights. Because it was one of those games where you're just like... It just felt like when the game was over, I was like, man, I totally forgot Justin Verlander even pitched in this game. That's how far removed everyone was from that.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Mark Berman, though, tweeting out, Marwin Gonzalez with one of the greatest home runs in Astros World Series history. Well, since they... I don't know if they even hit more than two or three when they played the White Sox.
Of all the highlights that we pulled last night, and one of them was the fan incident in the bullpen, but minus the three post-game interviews, so four highlights that aren't really highlights, we have 12.
That's crazy.
From that game.
Isn't that
normally
crazy?
It's like maybe five.
Right. That's just nuts, man.
And the long ball has something to do with that, too, because of the fact that there were so many. But the late innings, I mean, and you see all the records that they broke for, like, first time ever back-to-back in home runs in an extra inning game, first time ever home runs in three consecutive innings in an extra inning game, all the different things that the Astros did. And the greatest thing of all was that the bats just came alive, that the guys you wanted to woke up. Springer had, he hit the ball hard every single time. Even his outs were lasers. And to have him honestly say, I'm just trying to hit the ball the other way to advance the runner, and that ball carried out shows you how freaking strong that guy is.
This is why I kept saying, though, you don't move Springer out of his spot, because you have to let that guy hit out of it. Otherwise, it's not going to matter. You know what I mean? Like, you need your stars to win the World Series. And this is why I said you leave Springer in the leadoff spot. You can move Altuve up if you want, because he's just going to get maybe an extra at bat. But you can move Correa up. But at the end of the day, Springer is the catalyst. I mean, to use the phrase that you gave to me, he's the straw that stirs the drink. Mm-hmm. You have to leave him in the leadoff spot and let him hit his way out of it. And he did. In fact, on that line drive out, I turned to my wife and I said, he's got a stroke back. Even on that out, you could tell – That walk did a ton of good for him.
The walk was huge.
And that line drive that he hit to right field going the opposite way to the warning track in the middle and with very little effort. I told my wife, I was like, you watch, he's back. Double later, home run later. It was ridiculous.
I told my dog right off the bat that the walk was big, but that the first hit he got was a laser single. Not a bloop, not a Texas leaguer. When he hit that ball on the screws, I'm like, okay, that walk may have been huge for him to show that he can.
Did your dog high five you?
He rolled over on his back and went back to sleep.
Because my wife was like, I don't know if you're right. She didn't believe me, but I guess she learned like everybody. Yeah. I'm always right.
Yeah, buddy just went back to sleep. So, all right, so we got a busy show for you today, and we want you to take part in it because it's going to be a lot of fun talking about the Astros. The HR&P listener line is going to be wide open for texts and calls. That's 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text that number, or you can hit us up on Twitter. It's at Barry is Funny. It's at producer T. Scott, and it's, of course, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We are the usual suspects. We're here till 4, so feel free to please partake in the show. Right now, I want to tell you about a great event that's coming up this Saturday, October the 28th, out in Magnolia. ESPN 97.5 and Culture Map are joining forces at the Horses and Goddesses Gala. It's out in Magnolia, as I mentioned, and there are tickets still available. The gala is going to be a beautiful event. It's going to be classy. There's going to be a lot of opportunity to socialize, good food and drink, lots of opportunities to contribute to some really good charities. Lots of stuff going on, and everybody should really think that it could be an entire day and night of fun around equestrian events. A lot of people don't get a lot of chances to see a lot of equestrian events. There's $100,000 in prize money up at stake, so you're going to have the best competition, and all the events during the day are free. It's just the gala that you need a ticket to, and tickets are going fast. So if you get a chance, go to Harris Cup, H-A-R-A-S cup.com, and check out ticket packages and ticket information for the gala, and you can spend the entire day and night out there enjoying great equestrian events and a fantastic gala. Go to harriscup.com and be amazed.
ESPN 97.5.
Welcome to the land where the jets don't stop. Trunks pop, tops drops, in the front end hop.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back in the first hour of the big show, and it is going to be fun because, man, I kept thinking about it as soon as the game was over. By the way, I couldn't go to sleep. I mean, I was up forever after that because your adrenaline and you ride the roller coaster and everything, and I know you had to write an article, and I kept telling you, if you kept tweeting, every time I get ready to go and start working on the article, I go, then step away from the damn keyboard.
My first stab at it was in the eighth inning, or right before the eighth inning, and it was Bleepin' Astros was the headline. And I even screenshot. I was like, well, Houston sports strikes again or something like that. And I tweeted it out. And then here they come. And then I was like, the Astros are good. And then they lost. And then it got tied. Damn it, Astros was the new headline. Nope. And then they're back. And I can't believe they pulled. Oh, there's another tie. I was just like, I know at one point you tweeted me, just step away from the keyboard, man. You're ruining it for us.
Well, I didn't say you're ruining it for us, but I already had this conversation because Robert Harris, who's a producer here, started tweeting, you know, Giles could still screw this up. And I'm like, would you bite your tongue and don't jinx us? And the minute it happened,
Tyler.
Oh, my goodness.
Tyler and about 100 other people got pissed at me.
Yeah. And then that one guy, I love that one guy who thought that I was serious.
Right.
And he's like, you know Barry's tweets have nothing to do with them winning. It's like, oh,
what?
Really? My bad, dude.
Yeah,
Barry, go ahead and keep tweeting.
I said that it was, there's plenty of time. I said, don't worry, gang. There's plenty of time for Giles to blow this for us.
So then,
for Houston or something like that. I didn't say us, but for Houston.
Jose and everybody, they banned him. They told him, you can't tweet anymore, Robert. And then he said, oh, the guy said I'm going to. I said, you didn't ask me yet because you had me. When you start tweeting stuff like that and then Giles starts imploding, I'm like, you just need to step away for a while.
Yeah, I did that. But I just try to figure out, you know, what's going to happen. And if you watch Giles, you know. And I really thought it was funny because I thought I was going to have it again because I was like, well, Maben's on, steal a bag, sacrifice, sacrifice, three up, three down, we go home, 1-1. And Maben gets on base and steals the bag, and I was like, uh-oh, here it comes. And then when Springer hit
three
that
tacos,
ball.
Baby.
Yeah, yeah, when Springer hit that ball, I thought, oh, is this the sack fly? Am I going to be like Nostradamus? And then it went out. I was like, I don't even care. I'm so happy that ball went out. I am so happy. But can we start from the beginning real quick? Can we rewind? Can we start over?
Go ahead.
Where are you guys at on the Vince Scully thing?
It was too long.
It was garbage.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
It was too long and drawn out. Now, I will say this. I mean, he's a legend. And, you know, and I get it. Because the first thing I started thinking about, I hope the Astros don't do something like this. And then you bring out, well, boy, I need a big bat from the left side. Oh, Jeff Bagwell, come on. I mean, what are you going to, you can't have Milo come back. I'm like, who are you going to have do it, Brownie? And the world doesn't know Brownie.
I don't know that we need to do that.
I hope not, because it was way too
long. I was like, look, I respect Vin Scully and I admire what he's done in this business and he's a legend. But man, if that wasn't an attention whore moment if I've ever seen one, like really? I mean, and then the fact that I think I was talking with El Jefe about this, but why are there 83 first pitches? There can only be one first pitch. After that, it's the second pitch. It's the 37th pitch. They had all these different people throwing first pitches out, I think. They were showing different
I didn't see anybody pictures. Throw one but Fernando.
Yeah. No, they were showing other ones during the game.
No, they walked the ball out to the mound.
No, there were different. There was like five of them.
I saw the little girl with Steve Garvey walk the official first ball out to the mound and put it in the center of the rubber.
There was like four people out there at one point on the mound. I don't know, unless they were showing clips from another game. But El Jefe and I both said the same thing. Like, why are there so many?
Three last night.
That's way too. There's only one first pitch. That should be the honor.
That delayed the game.
If I'm the Astros, that's what I was going to say. If I'm the Astros, the one thing that I'm ticked off about is that whole theatrical Vin Scully thing. Took a long, long time. You got to, you know, first, and he's talking the whole time. First it's Steve Yeager. Then it's Fernando. Then it's Rotator.
All I know is, can we please get him to throw out the first pitch in games 3, 4, and 5? Because he's good luck charm for the Astros. That would be great.
He is a legend.
Fly him in.
The greatest, arguably the greatest to ever.
For Astros baseball.
The fact that he had to go, we want them to hear it all the way back to Houston. It's like, all right, that's enough.
Wouldn't that be great if Vin Scully did the long con and just turned heel on LA and came to Houston and throws out the first pitch and then drops it's time for Astros baseball. This just taking that to the grave. Wouldn't that be awesome? I would really, that would make me super happy. I don't know. So there was that I had a problem with, like the first pitches as well. And then let's just go ahead and get the idiot out of the way that jumped in the bullpen.
Yeah, because even on the broadcast, they didn't know what was going on at first, and you had to go to social media because someone, I don't know if it was his friend or not, tweeted the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. What kind of friend are you? I know, it's like, but I mean, is there any, like, it's just a video, right? You can't hear what he's saying to him, can you?
No, I have a radio call of him being confused about it.
It actually stopped some of the momentum, too, because it was the Astros were really riding high, feeling good, and all of a sudden the umpire raises his hands, calls time. Everybody's like, what the hell's going on? They're all looking out in the bullpen. There's no explanation. All the players, by the time it got going again, I was like, boy, that was kind of a buzzkill.
In the video, you can see him getting on the rail, and then he jumps, and then two dudes grab him, and then security goes over the rail after him. But in all of that, the Astros' entire bench just comes right at him. They just rush him. They're like,
I was like, think about that.
You're not. That's
if you run on the field, you might get some exposure out of it. If it's you and you possibly in a security guard or two. You run into the opposing team's bullpen, and let's just be honest, the coaches are a little portly. But the relievers themselves are guys that, whether you realize it on TV or not, are fairly big dudes. You're not going to do well. That is not going to bode well for you.
No, that was a dumb idea.
Yes.
Dumb idea. And then he gets hemmed up immediately. And that's it. So that one was weird, which was, you know, stay classy, L.A., but alcohol's involved. I wouldn't put it past somebody here in Houston to do something stupid like that, too.
Apparently, he was arguing with security over him smoking. And then it turned into whatever that was.
So he went in after a security guard, not the Astros?
Yeah.
Oh, even better.
Just dumb.
And then I think we need to address the elephant in the room, and that is Yasiel Puig's antics.
You saw my last tweet of the night. I was like,
I'm so sick of that dude.
You bat licker. And we'll take it a step further, too, because all these young kids that haven't been there before – you'd have thought every home run was the actual game winner. The way they celebrated going around the bases and all the theatrics and all the other crap, I wanted to go through the screen. That was annoying as hell to me.
I mean, I am already sick of his crap, and it's been, what, two games? But if you watch the Cubs series, I was sick of it then. It's just like, dude, all right, we get it. It was funny the first 500 times. Just let's move on now. Okay, that's old. And by the way, Ben and Gilbert were saying that it was those Dude Perfect crew, those guys that do the trick
helicopter
shots. So they were in on the first pitches, and there was five of those guys. And then there was the first pitch with Fernando and Vin Scully and everybody else. It was just like, come on, man. That's just way too much.
Yeah, I already called Robert out. So he's on Twitter probation. Robert Harris is in there pointing at me because I called him out already. He's on Twitter probation for game three. Tony wants to get in here real quick on one of my pet peeves, Barry, all season long that came to fruition again, Ken Giles.
Yeah, how's it going, guys? First, let me say thank you for fielding my designated hitter question on Monday. And we saw a really interesting dynamic with the Dodgers looking for runs and hits at the end of the game that they spent their bullpen and their bench players on that ninth batter position. But I wanted to ask you guys, as an Astros fan and maybe AJ Hinch as well, how are we supposed to feel about Ken Giles moving forward and closing out or relieving games? Because the Fox guys, you know, A-Rod, Ortiz, and Keith, and Frank Thomas were talking about, and they spoke about it with a negative connotation, this six-out closer, and kind of wanted to get y'all's insight on that. I mean, I'm pretty sure that both teams have asked a closer to get, you know, the last two innings out and close the game. But just wanted to say thanks for fielding the question. Also, if you're not a fan of Taco Bell, Maven put in some work to get us that free taco today.
Yeah,
so
man.
Make sure you go show some support.
The taco hero we needed.
Yeah, he's going to get a commercial next year.
Ah, that's cool.
Look, I don't know where you want to start with this, but you know my feelings on Giles, and they haven't gotten any better. And my whole thing is just that uneasiness of he always makes it a little too interesting. But the other thing was whether it's a six out save or a three out save. And look, he did it in the Red Sox series, I think it was.
He did.
Yeah, so he's done it before. They try to do it with Jansen. That's fine. It's not the six outs. It's the amount of pitches. What people don't realize is when he really started to peter out control-wise last night, he got to between 25 and 30. He got to 30, and that's when you're like, yeah, as a closer, that you're bringing so much energy, that's going to make it tough.
And I think at like 25 pitches, I don't know that he was even around 20. That was probably whenever he first hit 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, he started to warm up. But here's my thing, too.
A little bit
foresight, late. Yeah, it was a questionable call, but it was a ball. But that's the one where you still have the lead and nobody on base that I would have attacked the zone and made him beat me. And yet, the one that he gets up and really serves up is Hernandez's ball that he takes the other way. That's the one where I would have think this guy's a little over-anxious. He knows that it's on him. You snap that slider off where it's anywhere close to starting in the zone and it starts to drop. And I think that's you entice him into a ground ball or you get him. But because you left the heater up high and you were starting to peter out a little bit, he just slapped it the other way.
I think to answer the question from the caller, the two inning six out save is definitely something that is a postseason specialty. It's where you've got your anchor, your guy that supposedly is the best pitcher in that pen. And this is kind of every game is almost do or die in the World Series. I mean, there is no other series after this where you get some redemption. So the thought is you run out your best pitcher out there to get the last six outs. And in the case of this bullpen, I think AJ thought that's Giles. He's thrown more pitches than that in the playoffs. He threw 37. He's done 29. So it wasn't new. And in both of those, he got a save. Now, he did give up a run, but that's in every game except that 7-1 game against the Yankees, he's given up an earned run in one of his appearances. So this is, you know, this is your closer. This is the guy that got you here, and you kind of have to go with that. I would be surprised if you see him closing right away. I think you've got to get some confidence back in him. But he's going to be here at home, and he's a much different pitcher at home than he is on the road. So it wouldn't completely surprise me, but you might see him if it's a blowout one way or the other just to try to get some confidence back and get some outs. Won't surprise me if they go Gregerson and then bring in McCullers after that. McHugh, excuse me. That might be something that you might see in the bullpen over the next game or two.
I'll say this. The other thing, too, is when I say he makes it interesting, boy, I sure thought that deep fly ball to center field was gone by Bellinger.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt my grapes drop right to the sole of my shoes going, oh, my God, it's over.
Yeah.
And someone was – I forget if it was one of the guys on Twitter was saying, now, you know, if it was 5 degrees warmer, that ball would have been in the 50s.
All the balls were going out of the yard.
Yeah, it was.
It played like a little league park.
Off the bat, I thought it was gone.
I did too. But, yeah, I just thought, how many junk home runs basically were there in these last two games? Because that park played like a little league park.
It was carrying out quick, yeah. All right, so we'll continue the discussion. If you want to join in, please do 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. Right now, I'll tell you about the Houston Cans Cars for Kids program. Great program here in the Houston area. I've been telling you about it for a long period of time, and now more than ever, they need donations, and it's the perfect time because if you suffered any damage in Hurricane Harvey and you need to get rid of a vehicle that's not working anymore, and of course you would have to pay for a tow truck or whatever means necessary to get rid of it, now you don't. You just call Houston Cans Cars for Kids. They do the rest. 713-225-4226, or you just log on to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Tell them what you got. Tell them where you live. They do the rest. They come to you with a tow truck. They take it away. They do the paperwork. You get a tax deduction, and on top of that, you mentioned ESPN 97.5, you get a $50 gift card. And that's where the process really begins. Once they have your donation, they turn it into resources for kids trying to get a second chance at an education. It could be bus fare. It could be book money. It could be eyeglasses or even warm meals. The things that can be distractions when the kids don't have them, but the things that can be a benefit when they do because they can focus on the books. It's a great program, and it's Houstonians helping kids in the Houston area. Again, 713-225-4226, HoustonCarsForKids.com. As always, right off the car, not the kid.
To learn to use Pro Tools and try to copy your G moves off the 10 o'clock news. You can't survive in my shoes or afford to pay my dues with your cartoon crews. You're destined to lose.
ESPN 97.5.
Love it, man.
25 items on my dresser. Yes, sir. I got stuck get paid.
We got 25 lighters on the dresser. Yes, sir. Got stuck get paid.
I got 25 lighters for my 25.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nick's still hanging in there, but dealing with family issues. Tyler in for Nick. Barry and I here, as usual, doing a little housekeeping. Jonathan Osborne, thank you on Twitter. It was the winning run on second base that the umpire did us a favor on. Whether you thought he was going to score or not, that would have been even more interesting, which I didn't need to deal with for my ulcer factor. The other thing that I was going to mention to you was the play that Bregman made was kind of unsung, the liner that he speared right before... Who's the backup shortstop that came in and hit the home run and celebrated like he had just hit a walk-off and they were still down a run?
Oh,
in the 11th, yeah.
Yeah.
If Bregman doesn't make that play, you got a tie ball game there.
Yeah.
So there, it was just crazy how many unsung. And again, everybody, obviously, with good reason, you applaud Correa, Altuve, and then Springer, but you don't get there without Marwin either. And I think Will Harris gets lost in the fray, too. Will Harris did a hell of a job pitching out of a jam with a runner on third base in less than two outs.
Yeah. Yeah, he did a good job.
So there's a guy you can kind of trust in the bullpen. But, you know, I think that you're right. I think going back to the last segment, I mean, one of the main things that a manager is going to go to is he's going to go to guys he trusts. And I think when he had lost so much trust in the rest of his bullpen, that's why he tried to bring Giles in for six out saves.
There's just not a lot of choices. This is one of those things where the Astros are going to have to win 7-6, I think, in most games. This is going to be, you're going to have to outscore the Dodgers because your bullpen is not going to be able to hold a lead. You're going to have a 4 or 5-1 run lead going into the eighth inning to outlast what that bullpen is capable of giving away.
Yeah, I think it's a different series than it was against the Yankees. But again, the comparison between the Yankees bullpen and the Dodgers bullpen, right now I'm not that impressed with the Dodgers bullpen. Like, you have to be with the Yankees bullpen because everybody the Yankees brought at you was lights out. I forgot Fields was on their roster, but man, I mean, I remember the issues that we had when he was with the Astros, but my goodness, I mean, he almost gave up the cycle in one inning before they took him out.
Yeah, I don't know that I would lose faith in the Dodgers bullpen. I wrote about it in the article where I said, you know, the good news is the Astros feel like they can get to this team. The bad news is it's still a really good bullpen. I mean, one game doesn't change that. It gives the Astros hitters confidence, but I it didn't make me change my predictions. I still say Dodgers in six. I hope they make me wrong, but I just feel like that the with the Astros bullpen and the Dodgers bullpen, which one would you trust more? I think is what it comes down to. And yes, the Astros broke out of a slump on the road, and it was the exception and not the norm of what's happened in this postseason. And thank God they did it. They come back with the split. But I still wholeheartedly trust Jensen and that Dodgers bullpen to get saves when needed. And I think what John Smoltz says is ideal, where the Astros better have a lead by the sixth inning. And I think that still holds up.
Yeah, I mean, look, last night, same scenario as game one. They get the two-run bomb with two outs in the bottom of the sixth. And like I said, a lot of people, I think, turned the TV off right then. They thought that it was basically over with. But boy, did they miss the fireworks. What a fantastic ending to that game. And again, I don't want to say anybody was lucky. But look, it worked out to where hopefully we have a longer series. I said Astros in six. But I think that part of that, to go along with what you just said, is you have to try and get long outings out of your starters and get as much as you can out of them, starting with McCullers tomorrow night. And then, of course, going to Charlie Morton on Saturday night. Those are going to be key, because everybody is giving out props to both Keuchel and Verlander because they did pitch well, but each one of them gave up two bombs. Thing is that we're not accustomed to seeing that, but you can't expect that every time out that they're going to be able to avoid those situations when they occur. You got to try and make up for them, and it's hard against the pitching of the Dodgers because, man, I'm telling you, if you're Rich Hill, I know he showed some of the emotion. I'd have been really pissed off.
He should have been. Yeah, I think that they pulled him too soon, and they talked about it on the broadcast how their analytics and their books said to pull him out because he had faced the order twice, or he was about to get into the third time through the order, and that's when he falters. And I don't know, man, when you got a guy that's gone four innings and only given up one earned run, struck out seven, I would, and only given up three hits, I would let that guy keep pitching until he shows some signs that he's faltering, and then go ahead and make that move, because you can. I mean, AJ letting Verlander go six, he gave up the three runs. Again, it comes down to a few mistakes here and there, a couple of bad pitches. Otherwise, it was a good outing. I mean, it wasn't great, but it was a good outing. He gave up the two home runs. Yeah, I felt like the Dodgers did, but that's not what lost the Dodgers. The game was going away from Hill. I mean, they didn't give up a run again until Morrow gave up a run a couple of innings later. So Hill would have probably been gone by that time anyways. Now, would that mean Maeda would have been the first option out of the pen at that point? Possibly, but you don't know what could have happened. But I don't think running Hill in the fourth was what caused them to lose the game, but I certainly understand why he was pissed, because he was dealing.
Yeah, he really was. And again, he hadn't been touched up. And when you look at, you know, the numbers, he hadn't been touched up in quite a while for like any kind of blow up. And the Astros were guessing a lot, and they were perplexed by that breaking pitch. So, you know, for a lot of reasons, there's a lot of things that you can go back to. Yay, nay, right, wrong. I think I agree with you. They pulled him way too soon. It was to the Astros' advantage. But, man, by the end of it, when you started getting extra innings and you started realizing, when they started mentioning, hey, he's got one pitcher left and one position player, and AJ was sitting on a bunch of options, that's a good position to be in if you're a manager. So for everybody that ripped up AJ a little bit on some of his managerial moves in this postseason, he played his cards right last night, which was great.
Yeah, especially in the NL environment. And I warned you guys about Hill. I mean, he's a good pitcher. Wood is also. So that it's no cakewalk when they get around Darvish. I have a bad feeling about, but when they get around to Wood, be ready, because you might get a similar outing out of Wood. So it'll be interesting to see if Robert stays with him a little bit longer than he did with Hill in this game.
Yeah, and again, on the flip side too, first World Series game for this kid too. So we'll see how he reacts to the. Even Springer said last night, when the lights get brighter, sometimes that causes you to press, and at least he was a man enough to admit it. All right, so we're going to continue to roll on. Let's remind everybody, I know we're getting in very much a big World Series and baseball talk. Sigmund Bloom, 2:30, and we always tell you to kind of give us a little advance notice on what you need questions answered for your fantasy football league. That means please text us or tweet us your fantasy football questions, because with Sigmund, we go quickly in one segment at 2:30, but he'll be here at 2:30 p.m., so please get us your fantasy football issues. We'll try to get you some answers. We will be back with a whole lot more. This is The Usual Suspects right here on ESPN 97. We shot bad, gotta stay fresh for summer. Roll a slab truck beating like a drummer. 10, 11 slabs in a single file line. Pocket full of money. That's how we do it in the summer.
breaking my real bad. I'm sure I'm throwing up Deuce Rod's ass. I'm breaking my real bad. I'm breaking my real bad.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Tyler in for Nick, Barry and Joel till 4, till we turn it over to the Blitz, as we do every Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. right here on The Usual Suspects. I don't know where you guys are from a broadcasting perspective, but I know that after game one, boy, both sides of the fence were killing Joe Buck. And it was like all over social media, everybody was killing Joe Buck. And you know I'm the biggest critic of Joe Buck when he does football. But I enjoy him doing baseball. I'm fine with him doing baseball. I mentioned in the Yankee series it felt like Smoltz really was leaning a little bit more pro-Yankee, but not to that big of a degree. But worth mentioning that, you know, we are covering the games here with our two stations, and if you do get sick of Joe and John, you can always turn the volume down and you can catch the ESPN broadcast. Dan Schulman does a hell of a job.
You'll be a little bit ahead, though. So, okay. Take that into consideration.
All right, but it's a good broadcast to listen to.
No, it definitely is.
And the other thing from the broadcast last night, I don't know if you guys saw this, but in the post game they had Altuve on with A-Rod and all those guys.
Uh-huh.
A-Rod kept grabbing Altuve's head like you would a child. Like he was like, yeah, Sparky. And he kept, you know, grabbing his head and kind of like he was going to mess his hair up. I was like, stop touching the man's head.
Yeah, that's
it's annoying.
I'm sure Altuve deals with that quite a bit with ball players. I guess that would happen like on the base paths when he's on second or something. You know what I mean? Like people.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking
talking
about
talking to him like it's a little leaguer.
I know him and Cabrera probably got into it more often than.
Well, they're buddies.
Well, they're
though.
Buddies. They're
like that's what I'm games. Saying. I mean, they like that's where most of the trash talk comes from. Is your good friends, so that guy,
yeah.
Cabrera, is probably giving.
Well, they were untucking each other's jerseys a little bit and more. Stuff. That was yeah. fun. But this stuff, it's like you're a broadcaster. Show the man some respect. That's why I said I'm tired of everybody getting for a guy his size, a guy any size, the numbers he puts up and the things that he's done. Doesn't matter what size you are, he's impressive.
The cool thing about Altuve was there was a the award ceremony for the Hank Aaron Award.
Yep.
No, was it the Hank
yep,
Aaron Award?
Hank Aaron yeah. Award. Yep.
And he actually said to Altuve, I wouldn't pay money to see a lot of guys play, but I would pay money to see you play. And yep. Altuve didn't know what to say. Like, he was so nervous that he said, thank you, Mr. Hank. I think Dave Schoenfeld is the one that retweeted that. Dave Schoenfeld has some really good tweets after the game. He mentioned that. He also mentioned that Keuchel on the Charlie Culberson home run said, Culberson acted like he won the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
And Schoenfeld said, well, I guess things just got interesting there. Yeah, I think that didn't sit well with a lot of the Astros, seeing him running around. And I don't know what got into that dude, but he was celebrating being down by one, basically, instead yeah. of being down by two. And that made no sense to me. Now, whether he was just excited to get one in the World Series, I could get that. But that's something you got to kind of internalize and maybe do that in the dugout, but he looked like an idiot running around the bases.
There were several, man, and it starts with Jock Peterson. If I'm Verlander, with as celebratory as he was and overzealous, and the
you're
whole
beating him next time Verlander's starting,
I don't know that I'm going to hit him, but I know if I'm Verlander, that I brush him back and send a message because that was thoroughly annoying in a middle of a game. And Bellinger, you know, look, I mean, I love Sager, and he's a hell of a player. But the minute he made contact, he did the woo and started screaming and yelling, and then all the way around the bases, I was like, okay.
I was okay with that one. That didn't seem, because that was just the thrill of the moment. I think like the Puig thing where he lays the bat down and then stares, that would have pissed me off too, because that's just almost as bad as you know, hot dogging it. But yeah, there were several moments in the game where it was like, you guys are, it's going to get a little testy if this keeps
Altuve
going.
Altuve had a big bat flip the game before in game one.
Well, Correa yeah. last night with the second of the back-to-backs yeah. took that thing from the butt of it and let it launch like a rocket ship.
I think that was on purpose.
Yeah.
I feel like he was saying, you know what? Settle down, guys.
But
yeah.
did you read what Puig said about the bat flips afterwards?
I did not.
I'll have to pull it up.
But I would think that because when he hit his, then he yeah, intentionally set it down gently, but he still, like Barry said, then glared out at the mound. His theatrics, even, look, that was one hell of an effort to try and catch that ball in right field, but act like you've been there before. The fact that you didn't catch it, you don't stand up and slam your glove like you're going to start crying and you want double ice cream when you get done with the game tonight from playing Little League. I mean, the tantrum was ridiculous.
You didn't. I had no problem with it because so that's just the passion of the game.
But you don't throw your mitt.
I mean, well, I don't know. I mean, that's how he is, though.
Yeah, he's a little bit more animated than
like
any
Reddick.
Other player
Reddick does
there.
Stuff like that when he knocked that ball into the stands for a home run. He did everything but throw his bat. It's the stuff where, you know, like there was a ball that I guess he fouled or something happened and he fouled it up, but it kind of dribbled around and he started jumping up and down all crazy. Like, it's like, what are you doing, dude? Just back up and let the game continue. So, he's just making it about him. That just, oh.
So this is what he said about Correa's bat flip. He says, I loved it. It was a little bit higher than the bat flips I normally do. He was happy and that's the way you should play in the World Series. Not everybody gets in a place like this. It's good that he plays like that, and it's good that Latino players are able to contribute that way. He wasn't batting too well.
Who is this? Puig saying
this is
all this?
Puig saying okay. Korea. He wasn't batting too well. He was only getting a few hits, and when he hit the home run, it was a moment for him to be happy. I'm glad he was able to celebrate that way.
Damn, I hate that he was classy about that.
I know.
He did handle it well. Like, I wasn't expecting that.
He gave him a little bit of a backhanded compliment.
About not hitting
he
so
wasn't
well.
Getting a few yeah. hits. And when he hit the home run, it was a moment for him. So he got in
I mean,
a little bit of a jab,
he said was kind
but
of
everything
the truth,
else
though.
Was, I mean, especially from like these guys being all from kind of the same area, coming up the same way. Like you want to see those guys do well.
Yeah, I mean, look, he went 0-for-3 in game one. Correa did. So I don't know that saying that was because otherwise he was 2-for-4 in the last two games against the Yankees. So to say he wasn't getting any hits. Maybe he was just talking about game one
game
because
one,
not many guys on that team got hits. Let's be real. Right. Other than Alex Bregman, who, I mean, like you said, defensively, his play flew under the radar, but just his stick as a whole.
Oh, man.
He's not getting near the credit for being the catalyst right now in these first two games.
Right.
The only guy that had an RBI in game one, he started off with an RBI in game two. I mean, dude is hitting, getting on base, playing defense.
And again, he looks like an even bigger hero if that ball doesn't hit the visor because that's his hit. And if that ball gets by in center field, he's going to collect another RBI. He's going to be a bigger focal point in how the Astros put runs on the board. Look, AJ should get a lot of credit for motivating this guy because I'm telling you, Bregman is motivated by AJ Hoffman and he is killing it offensively. Okay. Anyway, we continue to roll on. We got one in the books, two to go. Plenty more of the big show as we continue to roll on. And again, we want to remind you about Sigmund Bloom. He's going to be here at 2:30 joining us on the phone. And we always tell you, please kind of be a little bit forward thinking and be advanced. Some of you are already getting us some tweets. I don't know how the text lines are going, but get your fantasy football questions in now because we're going to rapid fire with Sigmund Bloom and make sure that we get as many of these things in as we possibly can so that you guys get all your fantasy football questions answered. And we'll continue to roll on with lots more Astros talk. And if there's something on your mind, give us a call, 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text that number. Right now, I want to tell you about Academy Sports and Outdoors because in Houston, it's been an unbelievable season for the Stros, and we know it's going to continue for a while. And we are here for all of you. Earning history in the World Series, the celebration is going to continue at Academy Sports and Outdoors with all the Astros gear you need to show your true team colors as the series returns to H-Town. From the first pitch to the final out, Academy has you covered. All your official Astros World Series apparel restocked every day, so they're not going to be out of it. When you stop by, you're going to avoid the lines, you're going to get what you need, and you're going to get all the best stuff. Whether you're lucky enough to get to a game or you're just hitting up a few watch parties, you can gear up and root for the Astros all weekend long as they welcome the Dodgers in and continue with the fall classic. It's a fantastic deal to know that you can go to your sporting goods store and just like everything else, you trust Academy Sports and Outdoors because it's the one-stop shop for anything you need for you and your kids and your whole family athletically and otherwise. They're there for you. Academy and Sports and Outdoors is the official sporting goods retailer of the Houston Astros, so stop by one of your local academies today.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.